gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This hour brought to you by semi-frequent emailer Peter in Libertyville, not too far from Schaumburg. Happy 17th to son Kyle and daughter Katie. Stay strong, Madison, and go Illini. Did I say that right?
Illini.
Illini.
Oh.
Illini.
Oh. You just pissed everybody in Illinois off.
Our very first hourly sponsor, and maybe our last.
Yes. Stephanie. And you can buy an hour of this show just by going to stephaniemiller.com.
Yes. It's so magical.
Yes.
Speaking of magic, I am exhausted. I have been up all night having sex with David Bender, my house husband.
What?
Just going at each other like crazed marmosets. Ah! David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
We've been living in domestic bliss together at my house all week.
Haven't we, honey? We are not like the fighting Illini. We have been getting along so famously. Tell people what I did for you yesterday.
I don't remember. It's all been such magic.
I folded your laundry.
Oh, he did. It's the cutest thing I ever saw.
What?
He brought my little, like, my little Spanx socks and my T-shirts up because he was doing his laundry.
You wear Spanx?
And I packed his, their little socks.
See, she buried the lead.
Yeah, you wear Spanx?
They're socks. Not the Spanx that time.
They're little socks and they say Spanx.
Yeah, you
on
did
the
bury the lead
and
there.
I packed his lunch for him. See? And then he bellowed at me like Fred Flintstone. And come on, we're going to be late. Get in the car.
And then we pedaled all the way here.
Yeah.
Actually.
And you put the cat out and the cat jumped right out the window.
I'm sorry. That's the Jetsons.
We've been up doing...
No, Jetsons, Flintstones.
We've been doing...
Yes. Both things happened, too,
we've been doing
actually,
reparative therapy on each other all week, and it works. Oh,
does
it's
it
just...
Really?
We're so happy.
Is this hour sponsored by reparative therapy?
Yes. And now, David, the thing that most people are going to want to know, let's review, how are the Cornish game hens? I have been slaving myself to death in the kitchen for David Bender.
Let me see if I know the answer to this, and I think I do, because people who have been married told me the answer is they were wonderful.
Thank you, honey. Thank you.
Yes, dear.
You can confirm I get all girly, don't I?
You
I've
do.
Made Cornish
Actually,
game hens,
and so
then,
do I.
And also, I baked Brussels sprouts and shallots,
yeah.
And I was all upset because I burned them. But
well,
very...
of course you did. You burn everything.
But you know what? And this is why we are perfect for each other. I actually like charcoal. I
oh,
do.
Oh, Ricky.
No, I do. They were fantastic. Lucy, it was okay.
See, he was very sweet. He told me that I was literally almost on the verge of tears. I was like, I burned them. I'm sorry. And he's like, I love it.
I do.
So getting back to the Spanx socks, does this mean you're admitting that you have cankles?
I don't. Someone gave them to me. I don't know. They're little socks that I wear spinning and hiking and stuff.
Yeah, but when you wear Spanx, you wear them for slimming purposes.
It's not that kind. They're socks.
They're little marmoset socks, too. But they're tiny socks.
Yes, they are to minimize my hammer toe.
Oh,
okay.
Bless your heart.
All right, let's... this is just weird.
Bless your toe. And by the way, happy St. Patrick's
That's
Day,
right,
everybody.
Yes. The chat room has noticed that you're not wearing green.
Okay. My husband forgot to tell me. You didn't fold my green T-shirt.
I deliberately forgot to take because I wanted to pinch you, which I just did.
See?
I am wearing green. I cannot be pinched.
I don't think that's green.
Well, it's sort of off-green.
All right.
But it's green,
it's more
right.
of a khaki.
Thank you.
This is just going to be a domestic spat all morning.
It's going to be you're a domestic goddess at this point.
He's leaving me, though. We're divorcing today. He's going back to Northern California. It was a four-day marriage, and it was delightful.
It was.
It's the longest relationship I've ever had.
It's kind of like Britney Spears, right? We were in Vegas It was a lovely night.
All right, and now I'm leaving you for yet another man.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. It's Dexter von Frisch's father, Carl.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Carl.
I was so excited this morning. I woke up and it was St. Patrick's Day, early morning, and I saw this rainbow and I followed it to the end and found an orange-skinned leprechaun with a pot of gold until I realized it was just Speaker Boehner.
All right, thank you.
Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day, Carl.
Hello, David.
Now, you two worked together, didn't you?
We did.
Many eons ago, yeah.
We were Deaniacs together.
Wow.
You were
Howard Dean's one of his senior advisors.
I was so senior. I was yes. I was older than Methuselah, but Carl Frisch was one of the young Turks. Wait a minute. No, not quite. But youngish and
youngish is good.
Youngish is good, and all of these folks have gone on to incredible
Yeah, Carl,
things.
Can I just say this is just remarkably inbred, this whole progressive this, because we're having Stephanie Shriok on later.
How about that?
From
Carl.
Emily's List.
Oh,
Shriok
Stephanie's my auntie sister.
There we go.
It's going to be like This Is Your Life. She doesn't even know the vendor's here today.
It's going to be big fun. Don't call her and tell her.
And I, Chris, when I was emailing you and Rebecca yesterday to tell you that David would come in all 3 hours, guess who's right next to Rebecca in my autocomplete?
Who?
Rachel Maddow. I almost, by Freudian slip, emailed Rachel Maddow that I had David Bender here, which she would have been like, bitch!
Yeah.
I was almost going to go, you got a TV show, but I got the Bender!
And meanwhile, right. back at her parents... Who were thrilled yes. and correcting your pronunciation of La Follette.
Yes, thank you, Bob. All right, let's, you know, Carl, let's get on with the business of the day, shall we?
Hey, Carl, what's happening back there?
Back here in D.C.?
Yeah.
All kinds of mess.
There's a continuing resolution the government's
going
to keep going?
There's a continuing resolution that the Republicans are trying to defund NPR with and PBS with.
Today, yeah.
They haven't learned anything from the mid-90s, and I would say that we're probably pretty darn close to having government shut down.
Oy vey.
And
really?
And who will be blamed for that?
Well, I think you can easily blame the Speaker and the Republicans, and public polling points to that as well. Now, I will say the one thing that they have going for them this time that they didn't have in 1994 is they have a network called Fox News.
Yeah.
So... there's somebody there to, you know, bail their water for them.
Well, I mean, but this is the thing is, you know, we're starting to hear more and more about the fractions, you know, the Boner's having a hard time keeping control of, you know, his teabaggers right. and the rest. I mean, Mike Simpson, the Republican from Idaho, he said it's
right.
surprising. He said we're cutting, this week, in 3 weeks, we're cutting $6 billion. He said this is the only time in my life where I can cut $6 billion in a three-week period and be called a liberal. I mean, that's what's happening, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, Boehner's got all kinds of insurrections going on in his caucus. That sounded dirty, didn't it?
Yeah, the Boehner's got an insurrection. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, Carl? Oh, boy. No, he didn't. So, as you know, Glenn Beck said that probably God was involved somehow in the earthquake because he doesn't like various things we're doing, which he didn't really...
He didn't
say
expound upon.
What? But anyway, he went on to say.
Remember, Japan, sheer panic, nuclear meltdown. The only thing that could happen to make it worse is Godzilla could actually be roaming the streets. It could happen. But yet, look at these people. There's no rioting in the streets. There's no looting. This is how people are behaving. This is when it counts. This is their 9/11. This is the feeling of 8/28. Or
his
the 9/12 project.
His rally. Yeah. It's they're behaving that way because they took an example, Carl, from his rallies, you see. That's what mostly the Japanese people are thinking about.
Glenn Beck is a huge deal in Japan.
That is a remarkable level of self-involvement.
As possible. I mean, he's just an idiot at this point. Yeah. For him to even claim that this has anything to do with what he's been up to. And then, you know, the idea that God had anything to do with this. I mean, God is, we all know that God is busy right now picking the winners for the NCAA brackets.
Yeah, of course.
Which he'll be thanked for later.
Yes. Speaking of which, I could tell that was the talking point yesterday, the president is big, all this is going on, the president's picking NCAA. Yeah.
Sean Hannity's going to talk about that next.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The White House's response to the situation in Japan is raising some eyebrows, and actually it reminded me of an old Hillary Clinton campaign ad.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. Dear.
Apparently the president was groggy when he answered that call, because on Saturday, hours after the quake struck, he went golfing. And later that evening, he attended a dinner with members of the mainstream Obama-mania media. And today, the president spent his afternoon filling out his NCAA brackets for ESPN.
Wow, Carl. The president ate. There's been an earthquake, and the president had the audacity to
eat. Well, he shouldn't eat, and he shouldn't watch television. He shouldn't talk to the press. And certainly he shouldn't know what's going on with the, you know, if he didn't talk about the NCAA, they'd say that he was a sissy who didn't know his sports.
Yeah, I know. No, I heard this yesterday, speaking of James O'Keefe-like editing. So Rush Limbaugh has just the president talking about the, you know, he has, like, he interposes, like, news reports with the president as if the president responded to the earthquake by choosing,
to all
yeah.
of those things at the same time. But, Carl, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't there another president, I can't remember who it was, who was golfing during world events? Am I getting that wrong? Was there,
no,
was there ever an administration that did that?
George W. And those were events that happened in our country. You know, and then he
Hurricane
was celebrating
Katrina.
McCain's birthday, you know, in Arizona with a birthday cake on the tarmac. So
yep. and vowed to give up golf so long as there were people in harm's way. And then immediately, what was he doing again? He
golfing,
was golfing.
Yes. Yeah. So he even lied about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, Rush Limbaugh.
I mean, they bend over backwards to accommodate this guy. It's almost like the way you behave with a special needs kid. Oh, way to go, Johnny. 2 + 2 = 5. You're so smart, little, just like Diane Sawyer yesterday.
That's the president there he was talking
Can
about
somebody
there.
Call Sarah Palin right now and just tell her that he's back to making his handicap jokes?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I'm sure she hopped right on Twitter on that one, didn't she? No?
Oh, yeah, she said that he should, you know, resign, that he should leave his post as a radio host. That was when she was talking about Rahm Emanuel.
Yes, exactly. All right. Thank you, Carl, for that big yes.
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
All right, Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar with Dexter Von Frisch, 17 minutes after the hour, back with more Right-Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, that's kind of hot.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
The way you walk and talk really sets me off to a full-on child. Yes, sir. The way you push. Let me know that you're good.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. You can see us cheer dancing at ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. Check it
That's
out.
That's right.
All right. Oh, we have a professor of geology coming up from Caltech.
Yeah.
Chris, how do we know there's been an earthquake here in California?
A lesbian appears on the TV.
That's right. That is not Ellen. It's some...
Magically.
That woman.
Magically.
She's like, oh, no, it's the lesbian. There's been an earthquake.
She's an earthquake expert from Caltech.
Exactly.
And they provide
He's going to scare the...
Lesbians make you calm.
Don't I know it? Okay, he's going to
some of them do.
He's going to scare the bejesus out of us a little later on because California, yikes, Don de los yikes, as we say here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, we've got two nuclear reactors along the coast.
Yes,
and
Carl knows California. Carl Frisch,
he's from Los Angeles.
Yeah, and he had the good sense to leave.
Yes.
You totally missed something. It's not just a lesbian.
Yes.
It's a lesbian wearing safari clothing.
That's
yes.
true.
That's exactly right. That's
the early warning system here in California.
It's like authentic early edition Banana Republic clothing from the early 80s.
That's right.
By the way, we will also have Richard Louis, MSNBC Dayside anchor, to update us on Japan later on in the show. The State Department, by the way, is, I love this, the State Department strongly urges U.S. citizens to defer travel to Japan. Who needs to be told that? Who's booking a trip right now to Japan?
Well, you know, a lot of business is done in Japan, and business people won't.
Did you guys see
trips?
The footage of the airport last night in Tokyo? Airport packed.
Yeah.
Streets of Tokyo empty.
Yeah, Ginza empty.
But, but anyway, there's a growing alarm. Yeah. Obviously, they're evacuating Americans. The State Department has chartered aircraft to get Americans out.
Well,
so,
and who would want to go to Japan when they could go to Montero, California? You guys hear what's happening there?
No.
On March 24th?
No.
They're having an event with the three Joes, Joe the Miller, Joe the Plumber, and Joe the Sheriff Arapaio.
Oh,
my God.
Sorry, I have to miss that. Whatever day that is, I have a thing with a guy somewhere.
sorting your Spanx socks?
Yeah. Hush, Carl. Let's move on with Right Wing World.
When you say it ain't so, Joe?
Oh.
All right.
Oh.
Brian Kilmeade and Stuart Varney. Oh, I love this. By the way, Media Matters did a great thing. Will the media uncritically repeat Sarah Palin's economically illiterate take on gas prices?
Yeah.
That it's the
and even Stuart Varney said that she was full of crap.
They're going to steal Keith Olbermann's segment, That Woman is an Idiot. She said, Carl, did you see what she said? That she went on her wherever the hell she goes with her policy statements.
Facebook.
Yes. She said that, blah, blah, blah. It's Obama's anti-drilling mentality and war on domestic oil and gas exploration and production are to blame for the recent spike in gas prices, which
yeah,
has...
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the problems with there being strife in the Middle East or the weather or anything else.
Yeah, well, they asked, you know, several economists and energy experts, and they all said it has zero basis in economic fact, even the ones that work for the oil and gas industry. And so you know when Fox News is starting to say she's an idiot, that's, yeah.
Sarah Palin accusing the president of being responsible for the spike in gas prices. She wrote that on Facebook, and here it is. Because of President Obama's deliberate unwillingness to drill here and drill now, access to affordable and secure energy is key to economic growth, which in turn is key to the job growth. Energy is the building block of the economy. The president is purposely weakening that building block and weakening our country. What does Stuart Varney think?
Is she telling the truth, sir?
Let me simplify this.
If you had a crash program and said, get out there and drill for every drop of oil that we've got in America.
We'll have it in a week.
You would have a long-term impact on the price of oil in the global marketplace, but not in the short run. You can't get it out of the ground fast enough to affect short-term movements in the price of oil and gas.
Even Fox News.
That woman is an idiot, Carl.
So in other words, no, she's wrong.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
They couldn't bring themselves to say, no, she's wrong. They had to go the long way around.
It's probably against her contract.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what you did wrong, Carl, but now you get a second helping of Glenn Beck, this time on the radio.
I just got up this morning. I was talking to my wife. And she's going to, the temple today to pray. And we were talking about what, you know, she wanted to pray about it or everything else. And I said to her, honey, just pray for angels to be around us. Just pray for protection around us. And I thought to myself, I don't know how this year ends.
Oh, probably praying so that Fox doesn't drop him over his comments that God caused the earthquake in Japan. Do you think, Carl?
Right. Well, you know, as long as there's angels around him, no matter what kind of weather they have, he'll be perfectly safe.
Yeah. Wow. That's I just for some reason had to have a vision of Glenn Beck in bed with his
wife.
By the way,
where were the angels when he was putting $250,000 a year up his nose in cocaine?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They were strangely absent.
Maybe they were helping fly it up there. I don't know.
Well, maybe there weren't angels, but he was definitely hearing the FBI outside of his window, so he put tinfoil over them.
All right. And finally, another Glenn Beck for you.
Community organizing. Is that not what jihad, what they're doing, jihadists?
Very
they're
well.
Basically... really nasty community organizing. Acorn with an attitude and a suicide vest.
Wow. That was, would you care to unravel that little ball of yarn?
Well, you know, whenever he attacks community organizers, I always think of the community organizers I see at my door twice a year with their short-sleeved white dress shirts, black ties.
Oh, Carl went there.
Good for you, Carl.
He did.
Well done.
All right, Carl Frisch from Bullfight Strategies. We'll see you next week, honey.
Have a good one.
All right, there he goes, Carl Frisch.
Actually, Hal Sparks will see him next week.
Oh, that's right.
And he will be in studio with us the following week.
Oh, for all 3 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Really looking forward to that.
My
stars.
Yes. Oh, it's time to play, speaking of gas prices.
What?
It's the game we play every now and again. How much did it take to fill up Mama's gas tank yesterday?
Because you have a giant SUV?
I have a two giant dog exception.
Okay.
He can confirm that. Is
I
there
can confirm the dogs.
Could I get Max in a Mini Cooper? No.
No.
65?
No.
Oh, no.
Nope.
Oh, no, 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 no.
No.
93.
No. But you were closer. $83.
Yeah. Really?
A little over $83 to fill Mama's tank yesterday.
How much was it a gallon? Was it over four?
I blanked it out. I don't know.
Oh, you just pull into the first gas station? You don't
shop
around?
No, I don't. I go to the one, you know, the one. The cheap one.
Oh.
You know, on the...
Yeah,
all right.
But
yeah.
It's pure trauma now. You go in wherever it is. It's just trauma.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
kidding me? The hair, the voice, the wise beyond ageness. I've seen
Stephanie Miller
many times before, and it always works.
What?
I've just learned something about the rhythm of this show,
yes.
Which is you say something really provocative to Chris,
yes,
just before the mic comes,
uh-huh,
on,
mm-hmm, uh-huh,
and he can't respond. He just gets to look
you
at you.
You know what, though? I do the same thing to her on occasion.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
I love that. You, too. It's
our job is to try to throw each other off.
It's great, and you don't miss a beat, though.
Nope.
So can I tell you what
we
I
are
did?
Professionals.
Can I tell you what,
yes,
I did? I snuck downstairs last night.
In my house.
In your,
yes,
house.
Yes.
While you were asleep.
Oh, dear.
And I went downstairs, and I sat in the massage chair.
Oh, he is such a massage chair whore, Chris. God.
This is actually true. But here's what I did in the massage chair. Do you want to know?
I don't want to know. Is there cleanup involved? Is there a happy ending?
Do you really want the answer to that question? I watched Glee.
Oh, you did?
Okay. I watched the Tuesday night episode of Glee, which I had missed because we were at, you know, I don't know where we were. We were cooking dinner.
Painting the town red.
Disturbing. If I'd come downstairs and I didn't already know he was gay. What are you doing?
I'm watching Glee.
Straight people watch Glee, too.
Chris, it was incredible. It was the Glee episode where Chris Colfer's character, mm-hmm, Kurt, finally gets his first kiss. He and they get together. I was weeping. It was beautiful.
You
know
are
what?
So gay.
Glee,
all right.
Glee jumped the shark for me a long time ago.
It did.
It did.
All right.
It did. Yeah.
1-800.
I love the shark, actually.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson. Hi, Lavender.
Morning, Mama. Morning, Luke. How are you guys?
Good morning. Go ahead.
It's been so long since we've had a chance to talk. It's been since daylight savings time.
That's right. Now that it's back to daylight savings time, you're getting most of the show in Tucson, right?
It makes me so happy.
Yay.
It's such a relief. And I was thinking on how long it had been, and it's been so long that Sarah Palin was still relevant for a given value of relevance.
Yeah, it was a while ago. It was quite some time ago.
It really was a pesky Arizona, and that independent contrarian streak goes right through to daylight savings.
Yeah, exactly.
I missed you guys, and I love you guys.
Oh, we're glad to have you back.
Love you too, honey.
Talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, by the way, bad polling news for Sarah Palin, sadly. Sadly for us. Washington Post ABC News poll. Apparently, as Palin sinks, Romney gains is the
headline. And Romney's unelectable, I think.
You do? Mm-hmm. Why? Because of the magic underpants?
Because of, the short sleeve white shirts and skinny black ties.
Or the Obamacare in Massachusetts.
That as well.
Finds 60% of Republicans and self-described Republican independents hold a favorable view of Romney. It's a 5-point gain.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best they've got, I guess.
Huckabee is up there, too, isn't he?
Yes. Romney's unfavorable numbers, which have shrunk from 38% in 08 to 21% today. Romney's favorable rating at 68% among self-described conservatives and a whopping 71% among voters who describe themselves as very conservative.
But can I put on my little campaign strategy,
yes,
cap? It is... What month are we in? It is St. Patrick's Day. It's March,
yes, yep,
of the year before. March of the year before 2008.
Yeah.
Barack Obama was 25 points behind Hillary,
yeah,
Clinton. So people, yeah, who, this is now about polling firms
padding
their
budget. Oh, that
was back
when, you remember, I had black people calling me going, you stupid white woman, he is never going to be elected president, you naive liberal little trollop.
And the only thing I try every
I said, you wait!
Every 4 years, I try and point out to people that when you talk about polls that are 18 months out, go back and look at them.
Go back and look
at the ones that said, you know.
Well, I think one thing is unanimous, and that is Sarah Palin is an idiot.
Absolutely.
And the base is realizing that now.
Her numbers hit a new low among Republican voters. 58% approval rating, a decrease of nearly 10 points since October. I think every time she talks, it just pretty much just collapses a little more. Nearly 30 points. Her unfavorable has gone up 30 points since she was, picked. Her negative is higher than any of her potential 2012 rivals. According to the poll, 37% of Republican-leaning independents view her negatively. That's 11 points higher than the negatives for Newt Gingrich, the least loved candidate among the 2012.
Do we have numbers from Michelle Bachmann?
I don't know if we do.
Because, you know,
she's not even, I don't think she's even in this.
Have they pulled, I don't think they've pulled her yet.
But they need to, because every point that Palin is losing, those people, the Palin people, are going to Bachman.
Yeah, where are the people going that want the hot the hot dumb brunette?
They're going to Bachman.
Exactly. Now that Sarah Palin or Sharon Engel has disappointed us all.
Oh,
she's not
Sharon
running,
Engel's
for
running
president.
Again.
I know. That's what I'm. What do you think I'm reporting over here, Cubby? Cubby Reporterson.
He's Jimmy Olsen. You're Jimmy Olsen.
Teabagger Sharon Engel.
Lois Lane.
Announced she will run for the seat being vacated by Representative Dean Heller. She's going to run for the House seat in Nevada.
Yeah,
moving on up.
Yes, because he's running for Senator Ensign's seat. You can make a joke, your own joke, about Senator Ensign's seat, but that's a whole other and where that's been.
I don't make that joke unless his parents pay me.
Hi. Yeah. Yeah, I just love this. Engel's announcement ends weeks of speculation about whether she would enter either race or announce a presidential candidacy based on her disastrous run against Harry Reid, I guess.
Weeks of speculation.
Her spectacularly dismal appeal.
Who are the speculators? Who are the people who are selling Sharon Engel stock?
Yes. Yes.
I mean,
didn't
really.
She, Chris, what did she do in the interim? Didn't she give a Sharon Engel's beauty secrets seminar?
Yeah, a seminar at a cosmetics convention in Las Vegas, I believe it was.
Oh, my God.
For those of you gals that want the Sharon Engel look.
And I think she's got a...
A, swear to God, she has a Dorothy Hamill haircut.
Just kind of... She's got Marty Feldman eyes. I'm just saying.
Dorothy Hamill isn't using anymore.
Dorothy Hamill called from 1980. She wants her hair back.
Not even 1980. It was 1977.
By the way, here's a fun fact. Engel lost against Heller for the same seat she's now seeking back in 2008.
That's
so based on her complete loserdom,
right,
that's
Christine
running
O'Donnell.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Let's keep running. How many times can we run for the same seat and lose?
Yeah, I love this. A key to the 2012 election may well be the contrast Engel has presented between her notoriety outside the state, gained in part for her attempt to unseat Reid, and her inability to win voters in Nevada.
Yeah.
So that'll be a... That'll be an edgier seat one to watch in there.
They can dump her at Yucca Mountain.
They can dump her political career at Yucca Mountain. Oh, David Bender with the zingers. You have no idea, Chris, what it's like around our house. It's just like a Noel Coward play, nonstop. Just witty bon mots.
Except Noel Coward is missing. We need him. Where's Noel?
Okay, so you're like Rosemarie and Maury Amsterdam in the writer's room?
That's what it's like.
Okay.
We share an office.
That makes you
He's at the other desk in my office. I was bringing him wine yesterday. And did I bring you a little napkin with cheese and crackers?
You did. And a panoply of cheese and crackers. But that makes you Mel Cooley.
Yes.
And then he wanted to talk business. And I was like, I have to go get the Cornish game hands on.
It's like the writer's room at the Dick Van Dyke Show.
It really
Seriously.
Is.
Meets Betty Crocker.
Yeah.
I keep tripping over the couch. It's just a moment.
Yeah. If Martha Stewart had a joke writer's room, that would be it.
Rob.
I'm so happy, honey.
Rob.
All right. So, as I mentioned, this is not good. U.S. shows growing alarm over Japan nuclear crisis. The U.S. showed increasing alarm about Japan's nuclear crisis and urged its citizens to stay clear of the earthquake-crippled power plant, going further in its warnings than Japan itself. Yeah, I have a friend that called me from New York that wondered if I wanted to come stay. Wait, this is California. I mean, wouldn't you skedaddle if you were anywhere in Japan at this point?
It's the panic problem, though. And we were watching Rachel last night, and she held up the headline from the New York Daily News. Your friend in New York is reading that headline.
Yeah.
All they do is big block letters. They put panic up.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's going to spread. Plainly, the Japanese people have things to be concerned
about. What does that imply, that we should panic?
Absolutely.
The headline is just panic.
That's what's happening. Americans, they've sold out of potassium iodide. It is not that helpful.
Yeah. And well, you're not supposed to take it unless you actually have been exposed.
Exactly.
But,
yeah. There's only a window of opportunity for it to work, like 2 days. If you take it before, it's not going to work. If you take it after.
It's like in a movie when you need the poison antidote, and you know, there's a certain window.
Antidote, not anecdote.
No, she was telling a story. It was an anecdote, actually.
It was an anecdote about an antidote. Shut up! I may have once again put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. All right.
La Follette.
Oh, boy.
Secretary of State Clinton.
I think what's happening in Japan raises questions about the costs and the risks associated with nuclear power, but we have to answer those. We get 20% of our energy right now in the United States from nuclear power. So we've got to really get serious about an energy policy that is going to meet our needs in the future.
Did you see the big breaking news that Wolf Blitzer got out of there? Well, she has ruled out a second term as Secretary of State and running for president.
Yep.
He also asked about potential jobs as Secretary of Defense or Vice President. She said no to both.
Yeah.
She, as I said, I think she's doing a spectacular job. She is exhausted.
She is exhausted.
I mean,
she's traveled more than any other Secretary of State. And does she have to travel with Wolf Blitzer?
She's suffered enough.
Yeah,
Kathleen Madigan, our friend, is always talking about how she's just her BlackBerry's blowing up. Oh, for the love of... I gotta go. Where now? I mean, it's a crap job, isn't it?
It's a very tough job. She's doing it brilliantly. But I'll tell you, I've predicted this forever. She's going to come back to Washington. Her daughter got married.
Yeah.
She wants to see that grandchild. That's what she wants.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to be running all over the world.
And now, see, because she could afford the campaign hair and makeup again. Because these days, come on, she sometimes looks like Nick Nolte's mugshot. You know what I'm saying?
It's tough getting
it's
on
hard
off
when
those
you
airplanes.
You know? Just saying, you've been on a flight
even without going through security. But here's the deal.
Yeah.
Well, she's going to come back, and here's my prediction.
I just somehow had a vision of Hillary Clinton getting. Would you like the pat down or the X-ray?
She's going.
She's going. I will send you to Guantanamo. Do not touch me.
She's going to a whole bunch of countries that don't have hair dryers. So
no,
she's
exactly.
She's going to look like crap.
There's not a girl in the world I know that would take that job. I wouldn't.
Although Madeleine Albright
and Condoleezza Rice. Wait a minute. Yeah. Hello.
What kind of adapter do you need for those countries? There just isn't
can
one.
Can I do my prediction here on the Stephanie Miller Show?
Yes,
my
David
prediction
Bender.
Is she's going to come back. She's not going to run for president. She's not going to be vice president. She's not going to be Secretary of Defense. But if there is an opening at some point on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Oh,
you marked down Hillary.
Oh, he didn't ask her about that.
No, yeah. He didn't.
I think.
And Oprah's leaving, so
there's that too.
Yes.
I'm a better reporter than Wolf Blitzer. I would have asked that question.
All right.
and you don't sound constipated when you speak.
Yes.
Like Wolf Blitzer does.
Oprah, if she wanted to take a huge demotion, could be Secretary of State.
She could.
If she wants a lot less power, she could be Secretary of State. But she would not go anywhere where there's not a blow dryer, trust me.
Absolutely. But she'd have power put in places that don't have it.
I mean, if you saw her in Color Purple, I'm just saying she's not doing that for not
never
an Oscar.
Again.
46 minutes after the hour. Oh, gosh, we're cracking ourselves up. I hope other people, but maybe not.
Who can say?
They can. In the chat room.
46 minutes after the hour.
At ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller?
Yes!
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Dry humping music.
Yeah.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, boy. Are we hearkening back to the last time?
Yes.
I was with a man in domestic bliss, as I am with David Bender, who lives in
David
my house.
Blender?
Yeah. No, that's not the first time. Second grade was
he has
the first
me exhausted.
Time.
What was sex and housework?
Joke. Yeah. You've been on a bender.
Yes, I have. Thank you.
And now we're on a three-hour bender this morning.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like Gilligan's Island without the boat.
52 minutes after the hour.
Well, who's Marianne?
That would be me.
1-800-STEP-12. He was telling me when I was at work yesterday, he's in my fluffy bathrobe, as he is.
Yeah.
I swear to God. And he heard footsteps or something, and he thought someone was going to break in and kill him. And he's like, I'm not armed.
What do I do here? I had Melba crackers.
He only have Melba crackers, and I'm in a robe.
And the dogs are useless. You know the dogs aren't going to do anything.
Well, the dogs are barking, and it turns out it's the gardener with the leaf blower, right? Mm. But I'm hearing footsteps upstairs. So I go, I'm tentatively going upstairs. I'm in the bathroom. I'm holding the Melba crackers. I'm going, what do I do here?
So, this is what Max sounds like in the house, so it does sound like a person.
Yeah.
All right. right. Not to cheat on you with another man right in front of you, but Eric has an idea for a new segment, Chris.
Oh?
Steph, new segment, Tuesdays with Decay. What? What a spectacular idea.
I mean, you are a douchebag.
Thank you. Butch Decay was just on Tuesdays with Decay.
I think that is a great, wonderful idea. We love him.
I love him so much.
And his husband, and they are just
And he did
amazing.
Say it on our show. I did get him to say it.
You are a douchebag.
All right.
But we talked all over it, so we couldn't get it from our own show.
Carson in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Carson.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I want to point out also that I was born in Madison and lived the first 22 years of my life there, and I'm going to the Capitol soon.
But oh, awesome.
Anyway,
yay.
Yeah. So I wanted to call because I think Jim was saying about suggesting that Hillary could be a Supreme Court justice. And
that's David Bender. It doesn't matter.
Oh, that was David.
It's like whoever the actor is that's playing Darren this morning. Yes, go ahead.
And I heard on the Today Show that when they were covering that story, they said that she also said that Secretary of State would be her last job.
Yeah,
and people say that. But when the president actually says, I need you on the Supreme Court, it's really hard to turn down.
Yeah. You think she'd turn it down?
Kind of a cush job anyway, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The Supreme Court. Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
And you get a robe.
You
like
get a free
me.
Robe.
I have a robe. She'd get a robe. It works out great.
All right. I was discussing this with the Bender earlier. There was a WikiLeak. Did you know this about Japan warned of quake threat? A WikiLeak indicates Japan was warned more than 2 years ago that its nuclear power plants were not capable of withstanding powerful earthquakes. Quote-unquote, an official from the International Atomic Energy Agency said in December 2008 that safety rules were out of date and strong earthquakes could pose a serious problem for nuclear stations. So, you know, it's a diplomatic dance, speaking of Hillary right now, in terms of, Madam Secretary, pardon me, in terms of not looking like they're criticizing Japan, but also what they're saying now is U.S. officials are relying on their own officials for details about the danger because they're not sure if they're getting the correct story.
And what's worse about this is, of course, this is all about people not believing their own institutions. That power company, the one that owns these reactors, right. has lied before. They've been fined.
Yeah.
They've done this
for
years.
Well, we talked to Greg Palast about this yesterday. It's a little terrifying.
But the same thing happens over here. We do not believe when our government tells us something. We don't believe them. And in a crisis, at a moment when you've got to believe what the government is telling you because your life depends on it, if you don't believe them, then there's a real safety hazard.
Yeah.
The President Carney said the situation has deteriorated in the days since the tsunami, and the situation has grown at times worse with potential greater damage and fallout from the reactor. They took pains not to criticize the Japanese government, which clearly seems overwhelmed, as they were saying, but Washington's actions indicated a divide with the Japanese about the perilousness of the situation.
Yeah.
A UN United Nations forecast, by the way, projects the radioactive plume from this facility, the Fukushima facility, would reach the Aleutian Islands on Thursday and Southern California late on Friday, according to the New York Times. Hey, I'm going east. Maybe I'll make my trip a little earlier. You guys finish up here.
We are packing up the car, Mama. We're out of here. Wow. Chris, can you hold it down?
Sure.
Is there a problem?
Thank God I just took out a loan to fill my gas tank.
But that's the thing. The truth is, that is the panic problem. There is not a radioactive cloud. There is not a perception of any danger to the west coast of the United States as we sit here now. Now, could that change? Yes. But today, people, if they are hearing this, they're not waiting for the second sentence. They're already thinking about leaving, and that is premature.
Yeah.
Way premature.
Yeah. Stephen Chu, U.S. Energy Secretary.
Oh, I think a lot of it is overreaction. I remember when Three Mile Island occurred, and there was a lot of hysteria, and it turned out, you know, not too many people died at Three Mile Island. Chernobyl was very, very bad. We still don't know the results here, but I think it's overblown.
Well, that's hard to say, isn't it? Yet, I mean,
no, we know the results of Chernobyl; they're horrible. But that sounded a little cavalier.
Japanese authorities are ranking the incident at a level 4 on the 1 to 7 scale that they use to rank nuclear accidents. But things have worsened since then. France's nuclear authority said it should be classified level 6. Chernobyl is the only level 7 that we've ever had.
By the way, that was Representative Ron Paul of Texas.
Not Stephen Chu.
I was just going to say, that didn't sound like him.
Okay, I didn't know you were down.
What idiot mislabeled that?
I want to apologize to Stephen
Chu.
Sorry, Stephen Chu, that was not cavalier of you, but Ron Paul, come on. Ron Paul, he was just tossing off. We don't know how many people really died at Three Mile Island. It sounded very cavalier.
Right. So I thought we were on the second set of... See, the I asked for the Hillary Clinton down there, you see, so I thought that
But you only said Hillary Clinton when the first one on the CD is Hillary Clinton as well.
Okay. We'll just, you know what? We'll just redo this hour. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, a geologist, Don Prothero, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
After the hour, this hour brought to you by nonrevwebsite.com for free things to do in your city. If it's cheap, it's good. If it's free, it's better. Nonrevwebsite.com. There you go. It's the sponsor. You can sponsor an hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, you know. Isn't that fun? StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can see us on the Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. You can email us all at the regular old StephanieMiller.com website. Oh, good, Jim, you're here. There's hate mail for all of us.
Oh, good.
I don't even know who this is from. Andy? Okay. Hey, Stepper. Right away. See, that's the...
Stepper.
I don't know. My house husband, David Bender, is here as well. All 3 hours live in studio.
The people are very glad Jim is here. They've been in the chat room going, where's Jim?
Andy says, when I look at that circle of fire, I see L.A. and San Francisco and giant fault lines, and then I see Pompeii all over again. I don't know how much you and your smart-ass boy toys know about Pompeii, but frankly, I would keep any crude, lewd comments about God/Christ at a minimum from here on in. Either that or get a really big boat.
God caused Pompeii.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you. Yes, you smart-ass boy toys. We're in Pompeii without a boat, my friends, if I hear any more. Who made jokes about... I don't know. All right. I'm not sure where that even came from. All right. Wow. You know,
I think he has confused Pompeii with Palm Gay.
I see.
He's
that's an
it was
entirely different
God
thing. All right.
Going after the, you know, as he's wont to do.
All right. We've been doing our amateur geology in here for the last few days, and now we have a professor of geology.
Yay.
The author of Catastrophes, Earthquakes, Tsunamis, Tornadoes, and Other Earth-Shattering Disasters.
Oh,
that is a happy title. Donald, I'm going to say this wrong. I hope not. Donald Prothero, am I saying that correctly?
That's correct, Stephanie. Yes.
Good morning, Don. Thanks so much for taking time for
us. Thanks for having me on. We're a big fan of your show in this house.
Oh, yay. Thank you very much. Well, I have to say, I was reading your piece in the L.A. Times, living out here in California, and it scared the bejesus out of me.
Well, I was intended to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you go through the whole history of earthquakes, this New Madrid, Missouri earthquake in the 1800s that caused church bells to ring in Boston.
Yep.
But anyway, you just talk about the fact that it's not like if, it's when we're going to have the next major earthquake here in California.
Yes, no, it's a certainty. I mean, just a question of when, and that's the problem. We don't really know exactly when to predict it. But if you talk to the Southern California Earthquake Center based down at USC, and you can look in their website, this is all on there, they talk about the latest studies and the windows of prediction they're making and the sizes and the magnitudes they're predicting as well. Because we know these faults are overdue. They're well studied, and we can tell pretty much when they've moved on rough, 150 or 170-year intervals. Some of them are well studied in that regard.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you say they have detailed computer models of how the next big quake will affect us, which areas are most vulnerable. Several of the faults in our region, you say, overdue for major quakes. The latest forecasts say there's a 99.7% chance of a magnitude 6.7 earthquake in Southern California in the next 30 years, 46% likelihood of a much more powerful magnitude 7.5 quake in the next 30 years, and the San Andreas fault capable of even a larger one.
Right. Yeah, though that's been well established among geologists and seismologists for many years, and it just gets more refined as we learn more about these faults and as we conduct more studies looking at ancient fault deposits and finding out when they moved in the past. And as I said, you go to that Southern California Earthquake Center site, and you can find a link to these amazing computer-generated models where they actually show you what the seismic wave looks like as it propagates from a hypothetical earthquake in certain places. We know it to be extremely likely.
Yeah, I mean, Don, the terrifying thing, of course, about your article is that you know, you point out that Japan is one of the most earthquake-prone countries in the world. It has better building codes and better civic preparedness for just about than any other nation. They take their, you know, earthquakes seriously. They do far more drills and inspections than Californians. And then you go on to talk about our infrastructure. I mean,
it is a situation. I mean, we in California are probably as best prepared as anybody in the U.S. because we have earthquake codes that were written as a result of previous earthquakes like the 1933 Long Beach quake. But we don't have standards like Japan does because we don't have them as frequently and we aren't as serious about them as they are and we aren't as organized as they are for that matter.
Yeah.
And then the other aspect of it is, of course, we have to take it very seriously. I mean, you have to have an earthquake kit in your house somewhere because we'll be cut off in L.A. for days without food, water, electricity, that kind of thing is to be expected, and that's what they've been telling us for years. And I got a call on Saturday afternoon right after my editorial appeared from Mayor Villaraigosa and wanted to talk to me about this. And I said, you know, it's nice that we have the big shakeout every fall, but, you know, the Japanese do it probably once a month or something like that. They're very, very serious about it, and that's part of the reason they didn't have a panic in Tokyo. They'd have them all the time, and they drill all the time.
Well, Don, I think the other thing you talk about, you know, obviously becomes a political issue because it's a fight we're already having with Republicans about infrastructure funding, which they think is, you know, unnecessary. You point out something I had forgotten. The overpasses where the 5 and 14 freeways meet, you say it fell in the 71 Sylmar quake. Their replacements fell in the 94 Northridge quake.
Yep. Yeah, you can see the pictures of online, too.
Yeah.
So.
And those quakes, you say, were only 6.6, 6.7, you know, thousands of times weaker than this Japan earthquake.
I was living in the valley, Dr. Prather, it's David Bender. I was living in the valley for both of those quakes, and
so was I actually.
People don't seem to learn from this.
We're very much like head in sand ostriches. You know, we you know, have a few weeks of an epiphany right after a quake has happened, which is like closing the barn door for how horses are gone, and then we forget about it, and then we go on living our lives, and we don't do anything. You know, we say, oh, we're going to put an earthquake kit together, and then nothing happens, and then we're just caught unprepared the next time.
I always use all the stuff in the kit because I'll just replace that later.
Actually,
I need that now.
What you should do is rotate them so that after a certain period of time, you take it out before it spoils and then replace it with new stuff.
Right.
But still, you don't want to go without an earthquake kit.
Well, I mean, Don, this must, you know, watching this budget debate must make your head explode because I know you say in this LA Times article, seismic engineers have been advocating clear-cut standards for construction, some of which are followed, but much of which are ignored. Most engineering experts tell us we have neglected our infrastructure and earthquake safety issues for too long. We continue to put it off because of budgetary issues in the current bad economy, but when the next Southern California quake happens as predicted, we'll all be looking back, pointing fingers of blame at Pennywise and Pound Foolish people.
That's right.
Who did not spend the money. Yeah, I mean,
the issue is, you know, we hate to spend money on anything that's long term, right? We always are going from one crisis to the next. It's the immediate forefront of our attentions, and we forget about things in the long term. And then something happens, and all of a sudden we're mortified that it happened, but of course we're too late. And this is a particularly good example because this is something we know is here. We've got this gun barrel pointed at us. We just don't know when the trigger is going to be pulled, and we should be preparing as if it's going to happen tomorrow. But they don't take that seriously because they cannot, you know, put that in front of other things which are more immediately demanding of funds.
Well, we talked
eventually we're going to lose human lives.
Right.
We didn't spend the money we should have spent.
Well, right, exactly, Don. We talked about this, you know, the bridge in Minneapolis. This is obviously not even an earthquake-prone area, but a Republican governor that didn't, you know, believe in infrastructure funding, and then you're right, it's after the fact.
Right, and that is a big problem. It's the way we think. We tend to think of just the immediate crisis, and humans are very poor at thinking in the long term. You know, at least emotionally, we are very poor at that. So.
Two quick questions about probability. We know that the San Andreas Fault supposedly goes off at this kind of magnitude at least an 8+. What is it? Every 150 years, and it's now 300 years overdue.
Yeah. Right. Different places go at different times. They don't all go together. So, for example, the stretch that's immediately north of us, up there by the Grapevine, the Fort Tejon earthquake, last happened in 1857. And depending upon where you are along that stretch, there are pond deposits that sit across the fault where we can actually see the past 2,000 years of the earthquakes in that area and date them. And we've done that, and the various estimates come in the range of between 130 and 150 years between big earthquakes in that stretch. So if you do the math, 1857, we're overdue.
Don, what about the our nuclear plants? I mean, San Onofre and Diablo Canyon. I mean,
I'm not an expert on nuclear processes, but what I've read from sources I trust, they're as well prepared as they can be. They know very well they're sitting right on fault areas. In fact, we would be running a field trip this weekend down to San Onofre to show the students the big fault that's right next to the plant. except that it's going to rain us out this weekend. The forecast is so bad we've already canceled the trip. But nonetheless, you know, they did that because they know something about that fault, and they're pretty confident it's fairly safe. But there is no place you can put a reactor in California near the coast, which is where you have to put reactors, that isn't fault-prone. I mean, that is the nature of California. You're living in anywhere in the, certainly the coastal region, you're living within 2 or 3 miles of a fault, or if you're not living within a map fault, there's probably a fault we don't know about that's down there. Remember, the Northridge 94 quake happened in a fault we didn't know existed until after the earthquake was over.
All right, that's it. Everybody out of California, hit the lights on your way out, everybody.
No,
good night. Thank you.
You know, panic isn't the way to go about it.
No.
Planning is
yes,
the way
head
to go
straight
about
to St. Louis. Oh, wait, the New Madrid fault.
That's right. The people say, oh, well, California has its problems. But if you look at a fault hazards map of the U.S., it's true of many, many parts of the country. South Carolina, 1886, had a big quake. It had big quakes up in New York and New England.
Right.
They've had, of course, the biggest earthquake we think in U.S. history was New Madrid, 1811, 1812, which is now its bicentennial this year. So they're pretty much everywhere. But the highest risk, of course, is here on the West Coast and in places like Nevada and Utah.
Is there an increased risk because of what's happening around the Pacific Rim with Japan and Indonesia? Does that have a ripple effect? Does that affect
what
happens
here? We
don't
know. There are some seismologists who think it may be the case that the energy is being transferred around. But remember, we're on the other side of the plate boundary, right? The Pacific plate starts pretty much here and runs all the way to Japan, where it plunges underneath the island. And we're on a motion, a plate motion we're dealing with here is a fault that's sliding rather than plunging beneath us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's called a transform fault. That's what San Andreas is. And it tends not to have the same amount of energy built into it that a subduction earthquake like Japan had. The biggest earthquakes ever recorded are all subduction earthquakes, and that includes the several that happened in Chile. The biggest of all time was Chile in 1960, and the biggest one in U.S. history, it was the Alaska Good Friday earthquake, 64, and that was also a subduction earthquake. So we don't think San Andreas is going to release something as quite as big as what we just saw in Japan or Alaska, but it won't be too much different. It'll still be catastrophic.
There is
a subduction
zone up near Seattle and North America.
That's right.
Yes.
Right just north of Cape Mendocino begins the subduction zone again. That runs all the way to British Columbia.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dr. Happy. Don Prothero, pick up some light bedtime reading. Catastrophes, earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes, and other earth-shattering disasters.
His
fluffy book.
So hopefully you'll enjoy it.
Thank you, Donald. I appreciate
Thank
your time
you
this morning. All right, all there right. He goes. Donald Prothero, he's a geologist.
Well, if the past is any guide, whenever there's been a big quake in L.A., I've been somewhere else.
Yes, I'm going back east this weekend.
I was in Germany in 71 and in Chicago in 94. Hmm. So if I leave town for an extended period.
So
conversely, I've been here. And I'm here now.
Jim Ward is not allowed to leave. I think that's the... All right. 18 GAC. Do I speak for all of us when I say GAC? 18 minutes after the hour, we return with Bender and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Come on, baby. Get up. Get up.
You're going to get
poppin'?
Get
up. Get up.
Is this an ad for Jiffy Pop?
Get it. 22 minutes after the hour. This is what my house husband, David Bender, was yelling this morning like Fred Flintstone.
Boomer! Get in the car!
Get in the car! Throw Dino in the back!
We're going to be late! This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie.
You know, there are two different Barneys in the Flintstones.
I did not.
That's because Mel Blanc drove off of Dead Man's Curve near UCLA. They since fixed it. And was in a full body cast for a year, so Dawes Butler replaced him.
Wow.
Dick Van Dyke did the same thing on the same turn, but he was dead drunk when he crashed, and he was fine.
He was, see that.
Plus, he's an athlete. I mean, see,
wasn't it Jan and Dean, too?
Jan and Dean,
yeah. That's a bad curve.
They fixed it now, so it tilts the right way.
Wow. Yeah. That was some really fun facts, Jim Ward. Thank you for those.
Trivia.
Yes.
Bonnie.
Flintstone trivia.
Hey, Fred, what are you doing? And the other one was more gangsterish.
Was, I thought you were going to say that it was originally Gilbert Gottfried and then he was fired.
You're fired.
He was the original Barney? No.
And the Flintstones were based on what show?
The Honeymooners.
Bingo. Exactly. Which is leads us to Art Carney, who's now the president's spokesman.
Yeah, all right.
That's right.
A more important topic. David Bender in his pajamas. Robert in Palm Springs, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. How are you all?
Fine. Good. Go ahead.
Oh, good. I've always wanted to call and talk to David Bender about profound political things, but it turns out I found out that I have something much more in common with him, even though I'm straight. I wear pajamas all the time.
There it is. and so you have something in common with Stephanie, too, because she has sushi pajamas.
Yes.
And
yes,
she has
that.
Peace symbol pajamas.
Oh, and an amazing array of dog pajamas, Robert.
Well, but I have 8 pairs of Simpsons pajama pants, and I'm in my late 40s.
Okay,
I'm now going to announce I'm going to come out right here on the Stephanie Miller Show because apparently there's precedent for that, and tell you that I have Family Guy. I have Stewie pajama pants.
Oh, wow. That is spectacular admission.
Spectacular.
You don't have granimals or something, do you? Because this is just getting weirder.
I used to have Flintstones feety pajamas in 1963.
There it is.
That's
okay.
Pajamas.
Wow, this is a weird show. Mary in San Francisco on the topic of the hour, nuclear weapons. Hello, plants.
I feel kind of bad bringing up something serious after all the pajama talk.
Yes. But, welcome to pajama talk.
Jim, the reason Dick Van Dyke survived that is because he was very good at doing pratfalls.
That's true.
So right.
That's true. What with the ottoman and all.
Yes.
Yes.
He was practicing for that crash.
Anyway, back to boring. The insanity of using nuclear power is once you initiate the process, you can never turn it off. And some of those problems at the plant were from rods that had been retired and were simply in storage.
Well, Mary,
so that's crazy. And then on top of that, even if they're undisturbed, even if no one's messing with them in any way, look at Vermont, slowly leaking into the water table. Mm. This is the most expensive, most dangerous, most polluting
energy
on the planet.
Right. One thing that somebody said about the Japan thing made me kind of go, what? They were saying that some of these plants have reached about the end of their natural lifetime anyway, and I'm like going, what? That doesn't seem like a good plan then.
You can't really truly decommission a plant. Once you start them up, they just go and go and go for the rest of existence.
Much like Mick Jagger.
Because that's the way they're made. And anyone who sits around and thinks that's some kind of solution, and I have to say, I'm afraid Obama is you know, they've got a zillion lobbyists up there.
Yeah.
And he's thinking it's going to be a way out of the whole oil and gas problem, but it is not a solution.
You know, we just played Rand Paul last hour. They don't need any regulation of any kind. This is ridiculous.
Is overreaction. I remember when Three Mile Island occurred, and there was a lot of hysteria, and it turned out, you know, not too many people died at Three Mile Island. Chernobyl was very, very bad. We still don't know the results here, but I think it's overblown.
Was he just chuckling about Three Mile Island?
It sounded like it.
Mm.
Well,
yeah,
it turns out
people.
A lot of people died as a result of Three Mile Island, not at Three Mile Island, but in surrounding counties.
And like Chernobyl, it takes 10 years and years and years. But, you know, incidences of cancer. Mm-hmm. I mean, thank you, Ron Paul,
and
for that.
A lot of people were bought off. They bought their silence.
Jim, as you know, these things regulate themselves. They don't need regulation of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Secretary of State Clinton on the safety of Americans.
The safety of American citizens is always our highest priority. And we are literally monitoring this minute by minute. We have Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Department of Energy experts on the ground in Japan working with the Japanese. And we're doing everything we can to help them try to get this this triple disaster of earthquake, tsunami, nuclear reactors under control.
I guess depending on their own experts now, they're like, okay, Japanese experts, thanks. We're just going to take our own. I mean, seriously, there are people on the West Coast, obviously, in California thinking about getting out of here, as I mentioned. People in Japan, I mean, that seems like a no-brainer. Stephen Chu, U.S.
The events unfolding in the Japan incidents actually appear to be more serious than Three Mile Island. To what extent, we don't really know now. And so as they're unfolding very rapidly on an hour-by-hour, day-by-day basis, and there are conflicting reports, and so we don't really know in detail what's happening.
Yeah, well, we could have five meltdowns simultaneously.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you where things stand when we come back. There's a pretty comprehensive article about it, but it's crisis. One analyst is calling it a slow-moving nightmare with fires, leaks of poisonous radiation, and mass evacuations. I mean,
and other than that, how do you enjoy the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
And
exactly.
Secretary Chu saying we're still building nuclear power plants. That's still in the Obama budget.
Well, yep. I mean, that's you don't even need to be an expert to look at what's happening in Japan and go, holy crap.
You should have started decommissioning them 30 years ago after solar.
29 minutes after the hour, all that, and Stephanie Shriok of Emily's List as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Where it seemed like she had a nice ass.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Tomorrow, Fridays with Fuglesang and Valerie Plame. Check me out.
Wow. Valerie Plame. Yeah. She knows something about nuclear power, doesn't
Cha.
She?
Mm-hmm. A little something. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Yes,
Jim. David and I just discovered we went to the same high school.
We went to the same high school.
It's like old home week.
It is, and we're all in an old home.
And now, the president of Emily's List and close personal friend of David Bender, Stephanie Shriok, this is your life.
Is this nuts?
I love this, Bender. I'm so glad you're on.
Shriok, this is incredible. And Carl Frisch was on just a little while ago. Give
the fun facts so people know what you're talking about.
Here's the fun facts. Stephanie Shriok, who is the smartest woman in America, except for the woman to my right.
Yes, thank you.
All Stephanies. Yes. Apparently all Stephanies rise together. Stephanie Shriok was Howard Dean's national finance director when Howard Dean ran for president. I worked with Howard Dean. And then went on to become, among other things, chief of staff to U.S. Senator John Tester.
Yes.
And was the campaign manager and the reason for the election of Senator Al
Franken. Senator Al Franken, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by Stephanie Shriok.
It's absolutely true. Correct me, as Rachel Maddow would say, did I say anything wrong there, Stephanie? Did I get any of that wrong? I don't think so.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
There it is. We're done here.
All right.
Having me on.
All right. Steph, let's talk about what you're doing now. It's funny. I don't think you even have to be an expert like you are to go, this is an unprecedented war on women already, and we're how many weeks into Republican control?
It is just shocking. I mean, it is precisely why Stephanie, right away, Emily's List, in partnership with Move On, who's just been fantastic, started this Stop the War on Women campaign. And we're asking everybody who's listening, you know, David, I expect to see your name on this list.
I'm there.
Do it too.
Yep.
StopTheWarOnWomen.com is critical. We're pulling together women and men across the country to stand up for everything that we care about, women and families, and it is time. Particularly, as you just said, you know, the Republicans, if I remember correctly, spent all last year promising to focus on the economy and jobs.
Yep, and you call it
a massive bait and switch.
You called it a bait and switch in your statement, and that's exactly right. They passed a budget so backwards, so punishing, so unacceptable to women and families that it's like we're forced to fight back.
It's absolutely right, and it's precisely the information we're going to lay out at StopTheWarOnWomen.com. You know, just from trying to knock down the health care reform bill, the work they're doing to get rid of collective bargaining, which is huge for women who are teachers around this country and public employees, and then the straight on attack on Planned Parenthood, an entity that women and families go to for cancer screenings and maternity care and child services, it's appalling, and we've got to stop it.
Well, you know, speaking of appalling, the notorious H.R. 3 bill, of course, was debated in House subcommittee. A bill that, as you say, will reduce women's ability to access health care. A bill that attempted to redefine rape. A bill that allowed doctors to refuse health care to women facing death. And not a single woman sat on the congressional dais. And all of this bunk, as you say, went unchallenged. I mean, some of these headlines, you're not sure you're reading them right. You know, whether it's somebody suggesting corrective rape for lesbians in the military. Some, I can't remember which Republican that was.
Wow.
You know, there's some headline today about, you know, a woman was wearing something that, oh, she deserved. I mean, literally, we're thinking, Steph, are we back there? Like, oh, she had it coming? She's wearing a skirt?
Yeah, it's a little reminder of last year when Congresswoman Betty Sutton was running for re-election in Ohio, and the Republican Party put out a piece of mail that said, let's put her back into the kitchen. Well, they clearly weren't kidding. This is exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to turn us back into, oh, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years ago. How far back are they going to go? And again, this is, we've got to stop this. We've got to get as many people to join us on the StopTheWarOnWomen.com, and really, and this is women and men. We're calling on everybody to join us with this.
Well,
and if I may, to your point about still having committees in the House of Representatives where there are no women sitting. You know, this last Congress, or this new Congress, is the first time in over 30 years, Stephanie, where women have lost ground, that we have a less percentage of women in Congress than we had the
17% of Congress.
Yeah, and now it's slipped to 16.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We got a lot of work to do to elect women.
And some of those women,
Democratic women, because those are the ones we need.
And Stephanie, some of those women are the Michelle Bachmans.
Right.
And they are trying to roll back protections for women. So how do you deal with that at Emily's List? How do you deal with women who are waging a war on women?
Well, we deal with the best voices we have, which is many and many, many members of Congress, many more Democratic women who have stood up and made the case of what it is to empower women to have choices in their lives, all kinds of choices. Let's trust women to do what's right for themselves and their families. And, you know, I just was thinking about just a few weeks ago when Congresswoman Jackie Speier.
I was just going to say, we just had her on a couple of days ago.
Isn't she amazing?
Yeah.
How brave of her to stand up in front of, you know, in a room, which, by the way, is only 16% women, and tell her, you know, Jackie Speier's personal story about the decisions she had to make in her life and what she had to go through with her health. And that's precisely why we need more Democratic women in Congress to tell the truth and the stories about what women go through every single day in this country.
Well, and particularly, you know, appalling is the fact that they apparently ran on small government. And you're right, that Representative Speier story was a perfect example of, really? Really? You want government all up in those private personal medical decisions that people have to make every day?
I always find it so shocking as the Republican Party and the Tea Party runs around the country talking about small government. And, you know, as you may know, I grew up in Montana, and there's a pretty good libertarian bent. And the last thing we want to do is to put government in our very personal decisions. It doesn't make any sense. Let women and families make their choices for the best for their families.
And you
trust them.
And you also mentioned Representative Gwen Moore. You say, you know, she can explain, she probably knows a thing or two about caring for black babies that they were discussing since she's given birth to three, talking about the real decisions mothers make when the formula runs out before the week does and the children are still hungry. I mean, that's one of the most egregious things about these budget cuts, isn't it, Steph? I mean, in terms of, you know, who it's hurting.
Oh, it absolutely is. And Gwen Moore could not have said it better. And she speaks from experience. And I was just so proud of her. And thank goodness she was there to make that speech and make it clear. You know, I was watching, you know, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand from New York's been fantastic on these issues. You know, she is someone who actually had a child while serving in Congress.
Yeah.
And can find a way to balance all these issues of work and life, things that, you know, women across the country are trying to figure out every day, and to undercut the services that help, you know, help women succeed.
I don't know how they do it. I've been taking care of David Bender, cooking for him for 3 days, and I am exhausted. I can barely even host a radio show. I'm discombobulated.
And Stephanie Schreck knows something about that. Stephanie Schreck, speaking of courageous women, what do you hear about Gabby Giffords and how
I was
she's
just going to say, David, you know, it's interesting, Steph, when you talk about this whole, you know, sort of sisterhood. I mean, have you ever seen a better example of that than Gabby Giffords and you know, our friend Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. And, I mean, that powerful moment when they talk about the first time she opened her eyes, when they were all talking to her and holding her hands. I mean, it was so powerful, wasn't it?
Oh, it's just, it's an amazing story. And for those who don't know it, it was Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Kirsten Gillibrand, Nancy Pelosi, after the president steps out of the hospital room. Gabby Giffords finally opens up her eyes, and it is.
It was like she was like, "Are all the men gone? Okay, let's talk."
The sisterhood.
It was, yeah, but that's what I said. It was the sisterhood of the traveling Democratic pants, or I don't know, divine secrets of the Democratic. Yeah, yeah, sisterhood, something. But, I love that.
We're so proud of Gabby.
Yeah.
And of course, she's got a long road ahead of her, but she's doing well. I mean, it's just to think what she's been through.
I know.
I'm so thankful we still have her.
I know.
And every day, though, she's getting a little better and a little better, and we're hoping and praying that she continues, and we need her. And everything that she represents for everybody in this country.
Absolutely.
Her strength in particular is what we need right now.
And that's why we need Emily's List. I love that story. It's just that, like, the president leaves and she just goes, okay, is he gone? Let's talk among ourselves. Girls, you know, gather around.
And it stopped the war on women?
And it is, again, I ask everybody to go to stopthewaronwomen.com, join us, sign the petition. We're going to continually put new information up on stopthewaronwomen.com, not just about what's happening federally, because that's, you know, we do that all the time, but really start digging down and what's happening state by state.
Yep.
And it's even worse in a lot of these states. And we're going to make sure that people have the information they need to make the case and to stop this war on women.
Steph, you rock. I join you in your love of strong Democratic women and David Bender.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I'm with you. You're going to have to give David Bender a hug for me.
I will. Listen, I've done more than that. It's really, you have no idea. But it's like even having a fake marriage to David Bender.
It is the definition of gay marriage. We are as happy as two can be. Stephanie and Stephanie, love you both.
All right. Stephanie,
thank you so much for having me.
All right, you too, honey. StopTheWarOnWomen.com. There she goes. Stephanie Shriok, of President of Emily's List. And FOD.
A friend of Blender, actually. But here's the interesting thing. She is one of those people who, behind the scenes, and this is not hyperbole, when there was a recount, remember that long Al Franken race that went on?
Yeah.
Stephanie Shriok was the one who was smart enough to say, we have to sit on some resources because if this thing goes for more than a week.
Because Norm Coleman's kind of a big whiner.
Exactly. Yeah. And she was the one who kept the powder dry, kept the money together so that they could afford the recount, the Franken campaign.
For her.
That's
good for her.
All right.
45 minutes after the hour, back with all the latest on Japan as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Jim, hurry up. It's St. Patrick's Day. It's time for us to do our, mandated Irish accent.
They've already said on the Ustream, and that is ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
Oh, my God. Everything burns out on me.
Hi, John. John in Fargo, North Dakota.
Stephanie.
Yes.
How are you doing, my dear?
Good.
Well, that's great. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm not green. I was just going to put something green, but I stepped on green. Oh, my point was...
Are you drunk, John?
Yeah, starting early.
Well, all right. Are you drinking green beer already?
Well, no, it's blue beer, but...
All right. Okay. John was drunk.
It's already nighttime in Ireland, so...
Thank you, John.
I know.
Can you see all the prerequisites of the wearing of the green and just do a bunch of...
I'm feeling very broguish.
All right. Or, I don't know, do Colin Farrell something. All right. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone.
I need a script.
Why does the straight man get to do Colin Farrell?
All right. Jim in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim. Hello, Jim.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you,
happy
sir.
St.
You too.
Patrick's Day.
You too.
Hey, you know, this thing about the GOP and the Tea Party wanting to eliminate government, it's ironic, though, how they're using every facet of government to railroad, taking away our voting rights, changing the criteria, to lessen the education system for kids, to take away benefits from old people, yeah. to take away collective bargaining. Basically, they're using every type of bully government agency to eliminate what they don't like. As far as their budget cuts go to save money for the taxpayers, they're picking specific items and categories to get rid of anything that opposes them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as we speak, they're trying to cut funding for, you know, NPR and public broadcasting. I mean, it's just, it's all the political things.
Because
it's their political
so
wish list.
Radical at NPR.
Yeah.
It's the
exactly.
bait and switch. It's what Stephanie Schreck was saying.
Yeah, exactly. All right. The latest on Japan, not good. This is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission guy.
What we believe at this time is that there has been a hydrogen explosion in this unit due to an uncovering of the fuel in the fuel pool. We believe that secondary containment has been destroyed, and there is no water in the spent fuel pool, and we believe that radiation levels are extremely high, which could possibly impact the ability to take corrective measures.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem, is now what do you do when it's too, the radiation level is too high to have people, that's why they stopped the helicopters, right? Because they, what do you call it? They did military helicopters, it was sort of like combat style tactics, but then there was too much radiation coming out, you know, radiation steam to continue that. The guy from the Tokyo Electric Power Company.
If the fuel rods are exposed, the radiation material inside the container could seep out.
Yes, events shifting quickly, according to this this latest roundup on what's happening. Sometimes confusing succession of announcements coming from authorities. It can be hard to get a clear idea of exactly what's happening, except that it's bad. David, that's my professional opinion. It's bad.
It is bad.
They're trying to give us like a review. They're not really fun facts. Let's just say not so fun facts. But Friday's earthquake and tsunami caused power outages, including at this Daiichi plant, which has actually six separate reactors. That in turn caused a failure of the reactor's cooling systems, which are needed to keep the nuclear fuel from overheating and melting down, and/or triggering an explosion, releasing poisonous radiation into the atmosphere. What's the current situation at the plant? It would be 2 days ago now, an explosion caused the containment vessel covering the number two reactor to crack, releasing into the air a surge of radiation 800 times more intense than the recommended hourly exposure limit in Japan. One-third of the fuel rods at the reactor were reportedly damaged. In addition, another powerful explosion blew a 26-foot-wide hole in the side of number four reactor, causing fires to break out and a pool containing spent fuel rods to begin dangerously overheating. Do you remember how this ended at Chernobyl? How do you stop this?
They essentially buried Chernobyl in this huge layer of concrete.
Right. What this reminds me of? Like the Gulf oil spill. I mean, people, they're going, well, let's try this. Well, let's try that. And, you know, it does make you think, maybe this is why we shouldn't be deep water drilling or building nuclear power plants.
Cause, which we should have started doing 30 years ago. But Jimmy Carter didn't get a second term.
Because I voted for Reagan, I know. The Japanese military tried to use helicopters, as we were talking about, to dump water to cool the one in the number four reactor, but the plan was abandoned after a third explosion, this one damaging the roof cooling system, because it would have meant flying a helicopter through
radioactive steam.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's got to be a tough job to sell. The U.S. nuclear official said that all the water was gone from the pool containing the fuel rods at number four reactor, an assertion denied by a spokesman for Tokyo Electric. So that's what's confusing, is you don't know who's what they're saying is, if he's correct, there would be nothing to stop the fuel from melting down. Water was also poured into numbers 5 and 6, suggesting essentially the entire plant could be at the risk of overheating. In what appears to have been an understatement, the plant operator described the situation in the number 4 reactor as, quote, not so good. In some ways, the rupture at number 3, though, they say is especially troubling because it's the only reactor that uses plutonium as part of its fuel mix. So it just seems like it's bad to worse. They say, here's what they're trying now. They're trying to complete a power line, which would restore the cooling system for the reactors. It's unclear, though, when the line would be up and running. The government has told roughly 140,000 people who live within 18 miles of the plant to stay indoors. But it said people outside that zone can safely go outside.
No.
I don't.
No.
Some experts have accused the Japanese authorities of underplaying the severity of the crisis. The U.S. Embassy has recommended Americans within 50 miles of the plant evacuate or stay indoors. So, yeah. So here's where it gets to be like the gut. You remember the, I can't even keep track, Jim, of the oil spill. What was it? The junk shot, and then there was the, what was the other thing? The top kill and the top hat and the...
Yeah, road kill.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is like that, where they're going, well, let's try
and this. And that whole situation is still being underreported. Well, not reported at all, really.
Right.
But it's still very, very bad down there.
Well, here's what's
between
next.
Between the oil and the dispersant. I mean, it's
right.
Incredibly toxic.
So in Japan, and what experts describe as a last-ditch effort, police are hoping to use a water cannon, like the one they use in riots, to cool the nuclear fuel. And officials have also proposed using boric acid, which can help slow nuclear reactions by absorbing neutrons. I mean, I just feel like, wow, are they just guessing?
Yeah.
At this point, I mean, it's terrifying.
It actually looks like it may be working with the helicopters dumping loads of seawater onto the plane.
Right.
It seems like it's having an impact.
Is it? Okay.
Amazingly enough, it's the same thing. If you keep trying, something can work.
They're saying best case scenario is the effort to cool the fuel rods succeed, the damage to the surrounding environment is limited. The worst case scenario is could approach the level, as they're saying, of Chernobyl, where estimates of death vary from 4,000 to close to 1 million.
Why are we still building more nuclear plants?
Yeah, that's an operative question. We will get to all that as we continue 58 minutes after the hour and MSNBC's Richard Louis, yes, reporter to update us on the very latest from Japan as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Don't forget, tomorrow, Fridays with Fuglesang and Valerie Plame. Hello.
Wow. But no Joe Wilson.
Check us out.
No Joe Wilson.
No, listen, she's the nuclear...
it's the wrong joke.
Proliferation.
But Joe Wilson I
was lucky enough to have dinner at their house in Santa Fe.
Oh, wow.
Over Christmas, and I was in way over my head. He's an ambassador. She's nuclear proliferation expert.
And the mother of twins.
I was just like, hey, I met one of them.
Those kids
and
are
their
amazing.
Lovely dog.
Yeah, and they have a lovely dog?
Yes,
oh,
indeed.
Oh, my gosh. Probably a very smart dog.
Yeah. I was just like, duh.
They're duh? An amazing. Talk about a power couple. Yeah. You can ask her about nuclear.
Yes. Exactly. Power. And it was great. My friend got to play the stunt Saddam. He explained his last meeting with Saddam Hussein, and so she got to play the role of Saddam Hussein. And he explained how you have to shake hands with him, and I don't know.
Whatever!
It was fascinating. It's a little skit.
I see that.
Oh, speaking of skits, everybody, Jeff in Salem, Massachusetts, could I have some listener comedy music, please? Hi, Steph. I have a new play proposal for the Stephanie Miller Players. It's called Benderella. David Bender,
I hate it already.
Starring in the leading role of Benderella, stays at home while Steph and the Mooks go to the Stephanie Miller Show ball. Why, oh, why does Steph and the Mooks make me stay home and mop the kitchen floor and give Max and Fred a tongue bath while they have all the fun? Cackle, 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 goes Steph and the Mooks. Come back next week and you'll hear Benderella say, Mein Fuhrer, I can walk, from 70s favorite movie, Jaws. All right.
Monsieur!
That's a joke about how I get movie references wrong.
I know that I can walk. Yes, indeed.
Right.
Well, I didn't actually lick the dogs.
No.
They did, however, lick me. And
yeah, I don't know. I came home yesterday morning, can I just say, Jim, and Max stuck his head directly inside David Bender's robe, and I was like, what has been going on here while I was at work?
Yeah, I can't talk about that.
Okay. Santorum online, too.
There it is. He's calling from Iowa. Do you know that someone is actually eyeing the guy who, Gabby Giffords, we talked about Gabby Giffords with Stephanie Shrek a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
The person that she defeated has apparently filed papers with the Federal Election Commission. A statement setting up his campaign committee. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Think about this for a second. The woman is in a hospital bed, and the Republican who ran a close race against her last time is already gearing up to run again?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Are you going to ask, have they no decency?
Shame.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. That was exactly the question.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And the answer is no.
Wow. So many horrible things Republicans are doing so little time. Representative Steve King not in favor of restoring tsunami funding.
That's stunning.
Yeah, the budget proposed by House Republicans, of course, eliminates critical funding to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration that will hamper the agency's ability to track and respond to tsunamis.
Mm-hmm.
The agency said the cuts will take away our ability to upgrade tsunami models and will put considerable stress on watch standards to ability to react. Representative Steve King said he still favors the reduction. Nothing gets in their way. No facts, no current events, nothing. Just he dismissed calls to restore the funding because we often overreact to natural disasters.
Right.
Whatever you think you're seeing on the TV, that's just an overreaction. Eric Cantor also defended the cut, saying all of us need to be tempered by the fact we've got to stop spending money we don't have.
Okay.
That is just not important.
People like.
And Steve King apparently also doesn't want to spend money on preventing planes from flying into federal buildings, too, you know, because Steve King, he really is in favor of man-made and natural disasters.
Yeah, we played Ron Paul. He said the reaction to the nuclear power crisis there is overblown. Bill O'Reilly said the worldwide media is hyping the nuke situation in Japan a bit too much.
Really?
What would it take for them to think this is a bit of a story? Exactly.
Well, if we drop Bill O'Reilly into the reactor to clean up the mess there.
There's an idea.
He might realize that.
Because Bill O'Reilly is a man. He's man enough. Radioactive steam cannot affect him.
I think that could actually be Bill O'Reilly.
All right, stop all this radiation crap.
Stop whining.
That's it.
Fine. Let him go in then.
Yeah. He's the solution.
Yes.
He's no big deal, apparently. So.
He's both the problem and the solution.
Oh, boy. This is, by the way, the wife of a Japanese nuclear plant worker.
She says her husband's working at the site in the face of a danger of exposure to radiation. But she wants him to do his best. She says his reply by email indicated a serious situation. He told her to take care of herself because he won't be home for a while.
Wow.
Yeah. I got to tell you, we talked about this all this week, but the spirit of the Japanese people, I mean, is really, I got to say, I mean, story after story. But
you have to develop some kind of sense of selflessness when you're living amongst a gajillion people. You have to develop a kind of mindset.
Yeah.
Those 50 people are plainly, they're aware that they're sacrificing their lives to save millions and millions of people. The thing that is in my head is that if we do the math, in 1945 when those two bombs were dropped, there were people who were maybe 15, they were teenagers, who probably have survived all of that and are probably there now, people in their 80s who can tell the story. At some point when all of this is down the road, we're going to be able to talk to people who experienced both of those things.
I know. Julie in Seattle writes, Mama, Rachel Maddow, or as I call her, the other woman, in Bender's life, reported Monday night that most of the nuke plants here in the U.S. are at or shortly approaching the end of their lifespans, according to what they were engineered for when they were built all before 1979. Many have also applied and received licenses to operate well beyond the obsolescence dates, and they were designed and built for, and many are operating well over the production limits they were engineered to handle. I don't understand. Wasn't that part of the planning? What was supposed to happen when they reached the end of their lifespan?
No,
exactly.
That's exactly right.
Nuclear supplies about 20% of our energy needs. We could easily replace that with solar. Well, not easily, but the opportunity is there.
Right.
And there are several ways of doing it. Hal was talking about how they can make asphalt that is a photovoltaic cell.
Right.
Right.
You can make the entire city of Phoenix a giant... solar power generating area.
Right. Secretary of State Clinton even talking
about
this.
What's happening in Japan raises questions about the costs and the risks associated with nuclear power, but we have to answer those. We get 20% of our energy right now in the United States from nuclear power. So we've got to really get serious about an energy policy that is going to meet our needs in the future.
Yeah, you know what's getting serious about that? President Carter.
And then Wolf Blitzer said, we'll have to leave it there.
We'll have to leave it there.
Did you see Wolf pestered her, Jim, and got the answers out of her? She's not going to run for president. She's not going to do a second term as Secretary of State. No to the Secretary of Defense. No to Vice President.
But will you go on Dancing with the Stars?
That's something Wolf might ask. I don't know. I'm just saying. All right. Alan in Virginia. Hi, Alan.
Yes, I'd like to make a comment about how the right wing go nuts over a currency and make you buy gold. And there's all these doomsday scenarios like Glenn Beck and all them come up with. But, yeah, when you have a nuclear potential nuclear meltdown, in their eyes, everything's fine and we're overreacting.
Yeah.
They're just nuts over
there. What exactly? What we're seeing on TV is not a disaster of epic proportions. Like, what is exactly?
If the markets are down, that's a disaster of epic proportions.
Yes.
Yeah, human toll.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever.
Can we just ban
look at
the
him
word?
Channeling what's his name on CNBC?
Can we just ban the word overreact when we're talking about reactors?
Yes, exactly.
You can't
overreact to a reactor.
It's not possible. This
it's a contradiction in terms.
It is. Mm-hmm. Literally.
It's an enigma wrapped in a riddle. What?
Oh.
The president's carny on the situation.
The advice the Japanese government is giving, based on the information it has, is different from the advice that we would be giving if this incident were happening in the United States of America. It is not about the quality of information. It is about the standards set by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
By the way, we were talking earlier about iodide pills because some people took the advice, as you said, David, on the front of the Daily News and decided to panic. It just said panic. It's just a one word, just panic. Meaning, I guess you should at this point panic. The U.S. Surgeon General.
I'm not sure that there's a level of need right now. And certainly the health officers are monitoring. We at CDC are monitoring and will certainly alert the public if there's ever, you know, a real threat.
One of my friends calls it a boy toy of doom. One of our listeners got a Geiger counter, but David, you said that you actually need the thing that Dr. Gupta has.
The dosimeter. And that.
So if you're going to buy dinner
thing.
Party favors, right. yeah, you need
you
to buy
them. They're $175 and mm-hmm. they measure radiation and Sanjay pulled it out of his pocket. He's walking around with it. So
what does a Geiger counter do? That's kind of old school then.
I think it is.
It clicks thing, but
oh,
it's
clicks?
Much bigger and it's about $1,000.
Yeah.
These are mini and
see,
portable.
Julian Seattle's husband is he now he's like, oh, what is the return policy on a Geiger counter? I didn't know I needed a dosimeter. Why is David Bender not on until Thursday?
There it is. I'm sorry. I would have been here sooner.
But you had housework to do.
Yeah, exactly. I was mopping and licking.
All right. Listen, I don't know what you do when I'm not there, and I don't care.
the listeners do, however.
Yes, exactly. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Kids, we have this story. It seamlessly blends into a David Bender story. David Bender, what did you get this week when you called me at home to say, honey, is my laptop at home? I think I lost it.
I got carbonite.
Yes, you did.
And I am so grateful.
And your laptop was on your
dashboard. It was in my car. Yes, mm-hmm. I couldn't see it in front of my face.
Yes.
But the panic, and that word was appropriate there, panic that I somehow didn't have my computer, and you said, do you not have carbonite yet? And I said, I do now.
Yeah.
And I got
see,
it.
See, my home life is just exactly like on the radio. It's just
true.
It's a seamless.
There is no.
It became an infomercial.
Honey,
why don't you have carbonite?
Honey, I don't know. I'll go get it now.
And he did.
I did.
And he typed Stephanie in the box.
I always do that.
Mm. Yeah. Imagine the next time you leave your computer on your dashboard and think your wife lost it at home. What?
I didn't know you lost
just imagine
it. I thought you could find it.
And then you turn on the computer, and there's nothing there. How about that? There's a power outage. There's a virus. There's a whatever. Get Carbonite Online backup now. It automatically backs up all those files on your PC or Mac. Whenever you're connected to the Internet, hello, $55 for the entire year for unlimited backup. Come on. You can't afford not to have it. Get Carbonite now. Carbonite.com. Use my offer code Stephanie for this special offer. 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. 18 minutes after the hour, we return with Bender and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
If there was one thing
Stephanie Miller
was sure of, it was that her brand of tuna was best.
Thank you. All right, 23 minutes after the hour.
Apropos of nothing.
That's so good at knowing.
Yeah, I've just got my book title. Chris said, sorry, did I step on your tuna box? I don't know what that... Did you bring tuna today, Jim? Is that what it is?
I had tuna from the machine. They had tuna fish and crackers.
Oh, it is a tuna box.
Yes.
Did he step on it?
He stepped on the tuna box.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
It's so unlike him.
All righty, then. Can we move... There's nothing to see here. Can we move along?
There it is.
All right.
There is nothing to say.
Jim writes, oh, my God, Steph, I think I've been poisoned. I need an anecdote. All right. You know what? I told an anecdote about an antidote earlier, Jim.
You did. And you got them mixed up. I heard, yeah.
Listen, I've got plenty of people to hear that get paid to criticize my pronunciations and misspeaks.
And now they're volunteers.
Had I been drinking milk, I would have snorted it out my nose when I heard that.
It would have been iodine milk.
Yeah.
Okay. Jim, who said, I don't think there's any question. A lot of lessons has to be learned from what's happening in Japan. And there's no question we will learn from that. I think let's learn the lessons. Let's understand what safeguards, if any, additional safeguards need to be put in place. Who said that?
Keith Relf.
No, the boner. Boner said that.
Safeguards, if any.
They're French and
if
gay.
Any. Mm-hmm. Safeguards, if any. This
yeah.
is the
well,
the Speaker of the Rust.
Yes.
Who is the Speaker of the Rust?
Ah.
I mean, my God.
Jim gave us a fun fact about the, because
well,
he said, oh, the
French
have it right. Yeah.
The French have it right. For once, he likes the French, suddenly.
Yes.
The French build their reactors along the Rhine so that if there's a problem, the radiation blows into Germany.
Oops.
There it is. There it is. Wait for it.
That's what he's...
Okay. You know, the only meltdown that ever happened in California, it happened actually north of the valley in Chatsworth in the late 50s, and they covered this up for 20 years. There was actually a partial meltdown. This is where they'd done the rocket engine testing. And there's an effort right now. They were supposed to clean this up.
Right.
Boeing, which had paid for all this, was supposed to clean it up. And, in fact, now in California, they're trying to prevent them from being required to clean it up, even in the face of all of this. So, Californians, get on your legislature. This is ridiculous.
Oy. All right. Oh, by the way, if you missed the interview with Don Prothero, a professor of geology out here at Caltech, yikes. You might want to go to StephanieMiller.com after the show. Don de los yikes, as
he was,
we say.
He was amazing.
Yeah. Speaking of the boner.
By amazing, you mean terrifying.
Yes.
Yes. Amazingly terrifying.
But articulate.
All right. Last person out of California. Hit the lights on your way out. Goodbye.
What lights?
Everybody.
What lights?
We can't afford lights anymore.
and that's what's happening in Tokyo right now. It's blackouts.
They're saying how weird. I mean, this city of neon that, you know, it's just...
Tokyo goes dark. Vegas next.
Yeah. Oh, no. What will happen to Hal Sparks' gig? That's the most important thing.
He will do it by candlelight. There we go.
That is too much, Hal Sparks by candlelight.
Oh, he can power a small city.
All right, speaking of the boner, Jim, I think that he's doing more weeping in private now even than in public. The headline is Boner's Weakened Hand. Tuesday's breakdown in Republican discipline weakens Boner's hand in the White House budget talks and raises the chances of a government shutdown unless he and President Obama greatly step up their game. 54 Republicans broke ranks with Boner, leading him suddenly dependent on Democrats to win House approval of the must-pass three-week spending bill to keep the government operating.
I guess he'll be spending more time in the tavern.
Yeah, I think he's spending a lot of time at the tavern. Many of the critics the headline here, some in the GOP grow tired of the right wing. Many of the critics close to the boner, who struggles more each day to keep his majority unified in this whole battle. And I was quoting one of them, Idaho Representative Mike Simpson said, in 3 weeks, we're cutting $6 billion. It's surprising. This is the only time where I can cut $6 billion in a 3 week period and be called liberal. I mean, so this is going to be this continuing fight, right, David, between the Tea Party and...
But the point is they are eating their own, and not in a good way. And and what's going to happen ultimately is that the Tea Party, and we talked about this the other day, I think the Tea Party can't function as a governing entity.
They don't believe in government.
Well,
they
say they believe in the Founding Fathers, but they haven't read any of what they wrote.
Right. Yeah.
So they're not interested in that. They're interested in democracy.
Are you implying that the battles of Concord did not occur in
In New Hampshire?
New Hampshire, where Plymouth Rock is?
I am
It was in Detroit,
that.
Obviously. Plymouth.
And that did not cause Sputnik? Is that what you're saying?
And conquered the grape juice.
Right.
Yes, I not only am applying that, I'm saying it. And here's the problem. These people now that they have this responsibility, that Tea Party caucus, they're going to get out of government. They're going to find that they are not happy there. And good on them. Go back to Idaho.
So today's atrocity, National Public Radio, the House of Rep will try to be eliminate that today. Cantor will bring a standalone bill that completely defunds NPR to the floor this afternoon. A spokesperson for the Democrats said the GOP's recently renewed calls for cutting the taxpayer money out of NPR's budget is a reactionary response to the O'Keefe video, which has been debunked on the Glenn Beck website.
And so this is a St. Patrick's Day O'Keefe moment, right? They're doing it because it's all Irish. Let's get rid of NPR. And here's the point. It's not going to wind up. This is all theater. This is all kabuki because they're going to do this. They're going
to
pass it.
We'll get
and it's
going to
die in the Senate. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So
welcome to our nightmare.
Why are we spending time? Why are they spending time? And that costs money.
I love the Republican that brought it forth. The taxpayer should not be on the hook for something that's widely available in the private market. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
All of us in progressive radio know how many billions of stations we're on as compared to right-wing shows. Why, it's crazy how many...
But thank you, Carbonite.
Sorry, that was a little personal.
I wanted to thank Carbonite again. I really did and do.
All right.
Because they care.
We have Richard Louie, who is the dayside anchor for MSNBC, to update us on the very latest out of Japan as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
My day, women didn't make a sound.
Oh, look. President Obama's meeting with the Irish Prime Minister.
Oh, it's a good book. It's for St. Patrick's Day.
He's got an apostrophe after the O today. Just for today.
All right. It's an Irish name, Obama. All right. 34 minutes after the hour, we are here, of course, live in studio with David Pender, who's the coolest man alive, who's good friends with David Crosby, and sat in his living room the other day while he played a new song for him.
I'm a lucky guy. I am. And
what did you say? Did you just go, it's all right?
No, I said, actually, play it again. Play it again, Dave. It was like Casablanca, actually. And Crosby and Nash, David Crosby, Graham Nash, are going on tour.
Wow.
They are starting
in
March 25th. What is that? Are
and
we
you may go
there?
With them if
eight,
I let you out of my
days.
House.
If you let me out of the house, I'll tell you what, I'll take you with me.
How
about that? All you can rock out backstage, Long Beach, March 25th, Santa Barbara on the 27th. Listen to me, I'm probably on the tour.
At the bowl.
Hello.
Santa Barbara.
David Bender, the only man that hangs out with rock stars and knows the difference between a Geiger counter and a decimeter. Which, by the way,
Dosimeter.
Paul writes, Steph, we'll a Geiger counter measures the current exposure to ionizing radiation. A
dosimeter
measures cumulative exposure to ionizing radiation.
There
so
it is.
Maybe you should get both.
Step up from the Unosimeter.
I guess you could just go and get
if
both.
If by the time you have a dosimeter, you need one, you're in real trouble.
Yeah, it's too late.
Thanks
all right.
For telling us that antidote.
Thank you, Jim.
Ooh.
All right. Richard Louie is the MSNBC dayside anchor. Let's check in with him now on the latest from Japan. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning to you, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks so much for taking time for us. I know it is a obviously busy, busy time in the news business. This is a confusing story, isn't it? We were just saying this morning, it's hard to keep track of what's happening. Right?
Yeah, Stephanie, absolutely. And I think with the information that we have coming in, for instance, what you're probably alluding to, you and the rest of your crew, is the information coming in reported from Japan that at the moment certain situations are okay, one of which is the exposure of some of these spent fuel rods. They're saying that there is water. Water's good, as you know, because it insulates it and keeps radiation from coming out. Where the NRC, a U.S. Agency, is saying we have questions about whether whether there's actually water that's protecting these spent fuel rods and therefore keeping radiation from coming out and therefore making it a safer situation for the people around Fukushima and the Fukushima nuclear reactor. So, yeah, that's out there. And we don't have all of the answers. What we can only do is look at the information coming into us. And as you know, what is the most frustrating is the human story behind all of this. The latest numbers that came in early this morning before we went on air at 10 a.m. Eastern about an hour and a half ago was over 5,300 now confirmed dead, over 10,000 still missing. They expect over 10,000 to be that final death count, unfortunately. And when I was reporting on the tsunami back in 2004 in Indonesia, where I was first stationed, I don't like to think of that because that was a horrific situation where we saw those death counts just skyrocket over the course of days.
That was like 240,000, wasn't
absolutely.
It, Richard? Yeah.
And we don't want to make any sort of comparison there, but it's a feeling, it's a sentiment, because you can look at Japan, you look at the pictures coming out of there, right? And you say, this can't be Japan.
There have to be more people. Richard, between the NRC in the U.S. and the authorities in Tokyo, who do you believe?
Oh, all I can do is take in all the information. We don't have any pictures. That's the problem. What we need are pictures of what is actually inside of those holding containers of the spent fuel rods. And until we actually have pictures, we don't know. Now, Digital Globe's put out a lot of great photography from their satellites, so we have a better understanding. And when you see those pictures, you can see how destroyed those containment vessels on the outside, the outer containment vessels, have been destroyed. The inner containment vessel, we know there are breaches, but we don't know how bad.
Well, I mean, that's got to be the frustrating thing, Richard, as a journalist, you know, is what David just alluded to, is it seems like even the United States is, you know, doing this delicate dance where they're you know, trying not to criticize the Japanese government, but you know, obviously are not entirely sure they're getting the true story, right?
And even the Japanese government, as we have been reading, is questioning TEPCO and its ability to provide the expertise and the information to the Japanese government. So there's several levels to this cloud and to this haze. And the United States government also has the other level, as you just mentioned here, Stephanie, of the relationship and the need to maintain respect and dignity to Japan and its culture in the way it does deal with open discussion of mistakes. Very, very sensitive, and there's a very clear protocol that the United States needs to follow if it wants to maintain that. On the flip side, when we see these numbers grow day after day, when we see the situation only get worse, not better. Like, there's been very few indications of progress, very few indications that they're able to fight this. Today, for instance, Stephanie and David, all that we're hearing in terms of the new approaches, and they're not necessarily new, but they're just what they're doing today, is they've got the helicopters. They had four successful missions getting the water in there. But we're only talking about the equivalent, roughly, in each one of these buckets, 7.5 tons they can carry each. We're only talking about the amount of water you can probably fit in a backyard 10-foot pool, 10-foot in diameter. That's not a lot of water. And they're trying to get them into these very small areas where they have these spent fuel rods. So
well,
that's
we were,
one of the things they're doing.
Richard, we were making the analogy to the Gulf oil spill that, you know, what's frightening for those of us, you know, debating nuclear energy here in the U.S. It seems like they're guessing. They're like, you know, like, how about a water cannon? How about this? How about what? Maybe we should try, you know. And I think that it's being reported, obviously, many of these plants at the end of their natural lifespan. And you know, and I think in addition, you've heard about the WikiLeaks saying they were warned 2 years ago that they could not withstand this. I mean, so...
They are throwing lots of things at the wall. When you speak with the experts, the ones I've interviewed on air and when I've prepared for them, I want to know what the kill strategy is here, since you're alluding to the Gulf. Because remember, the language we were using during the BP spill was, what's the kill strategy? They're trying to kill the well. In this situation, you know, bring up the boron that's being imported from South Korea, 50 tons. Will that do it? They will say it's one of the inputs. The water strategy and the cooling with the water cannons that you brought up, with the helicopter drops, and now they're trying to bring in some more backup pumps and, you know, bring in those lines, those power lines, to try to get more water on top of the spent fuel rods and the inner containment structures. That is all just a lot of different solutions. However, I had an interesting conversation today with Michio Kaku, who is a scientist here at the City University of New York. And he went straight for it, because I had asked this yesterday of a different scientist. And I said, should we go for the sand and concrete sarcophagus? You guys remember that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right, Chernobyl. From Chernobyl.
Yep.
And he plainly came out and said, this is what they've got to do. They've got to bring in the jets. They've got to bring in the helicopters. They've got to drop this thing full of sand, and then they have to drop the concrete right on top, because what they're doing right now, he said, was like trying to fight a fire, a huge forest fire with a squirt gun.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That was his analogy. Now, there are others on the other side who say, oh, no, hang on a second. We are going a little bit too far. We start bringing in the concrete sarcophagus. But that was the solution in what was the worst nuclear accident we've had in world history.
That would be the final phase in the kill strategy, a sarcophagus, I would guess.
Right.
I'm not a scientist, but yeah, that's...
Until the next earthquake, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Richard, this is, you know, like I say, I have to ask you as a reporter, you know, when the State Department is advising Americans to get out, would you be scared to go into Japan as a reporter? Obviously, some people are already there.
Really good question. I know you hear that a lot. Really good question. But that is, because that's, you got into my mind just now. When we were talking with Ann Curry this morning, I had a question written out. I'll prepare my questions. I said, you know, I'm thinking to myself, person to person, if I had to talk to Ann Curry from the Today Show, I'd say, Ann, you're the last one there.
Yeah.
Because, for instance, Chris Jansing, she's coming back. She's in a plane right now. Lester Holt is on his way back. I'm worried about Ann. But she's in a place, and she's obviously being monitored. And we have consultants, and she has those dosimeters that you guys were talking about earlier in the Geiger counters, and they get inspected wherever they go. But, you know, Lester Holt was reporting an above average, you remember that, radioactive content on his shoe. And there have been some reports online. NBC News has not verified that. They came out within the last hour that there were some radiation detectors at some airports here in the U.S. that had indicated above average measurements.
This is for travelers, right? People coming back?
Yeah, these are travelers coming back from Tokyo. This is not verified by NBC News. Bloomberg.com was saying that along with the New York Post. So, you know, that's something on our side. Before we would report that on air, we would say, is that correct? Are those measurements true? Because we don't want panic. This is not about panic. This is about logic and information.
Can you speak to the New York Times, you know, I think reporting, quoting a UN spokesman talking about, you know, what U.S. officials have assured us are not going to happen, and that is radioactive plumes reaching as far as the west coast of the United States.
This morning's report from the UN, coming out and saying there is a possibility, according to the UN, of a radioactive cloud making its way to Southern California. I know that's where you're at.
It is indeed by Friday, right? By tomorrow.
Yes, that's their report. Now, that's what they're saying, and of course, everybody has a different opinion. There are meteorologists who say it's not possible because you need to get into the upper jet stream. And right now, the exposure and the velocity of the clouds and the explosions so far have not pushed them high enough to even warrant such a concern.
But wouldn't it hit Anchorage first? Would there be a way of measuring this as it's happening? Is there a way to tell?
Aleutian Islands. They're saying it could hit towards the Aleutian Islands, so they're going to watch that trajectory. They obviously have the detection devices activated. And when I say detection devices, what the Japanese are doing during every single water drop of that 7.5 tons of water, they also have a second helicopter, according to NHK, that is measuring the amount of radiation that's emanating at a very high level. So there's all sorts of data that they're taking in as time goes by. But, you know, the meteorologists, as you guys know, have been saying, hold on a second, think twice about this. We need to get into the upper jet stream. But you know, the real story that is, I think, impactful for us, when we're sitting here putting together our newscast, at least for me, I should say, not for all of us, are those workers, the Fukushima 50?
Yep.
What do you guys think about that? Because what a group of heroes.
Wow. Yeah. I know. Well, I mean, I think, you know, in every tragedy, as we were saying, it's like on our 9/11 with the, you know, firemen running into the buildings when people are running out. I mean, it's just, you know, extraordinary heroism. I mean, it really is...
All they're wearing are white suits that are really, really thin. They have, you know, some protection for breathing. They're crawling on the ground. They listen to the explosions around them. It's hot, and they keep on going back.
Yeah, I know, I know. And, Richard, you guys, you know, like we were talking about, I mean, journalists, what a job you have. By the way, we're all very close to Rachel Maddow. Please do not have them send her. I mean,
she's
really
fantastic. Rachel, have you been watching her explanations?
Yes, absolutely.
What a great job of really breaking it down in simple terms for me and everybody else to understand.
And helping to avoid the panic. Which is,
that's right.
Yeah.
Because through more information, we can make the right decisions.
But, Richard, interesting news about the reporters getting out. I mean, I don't know if Anderson Cooper went, but he's like, I just got punched in the head in Egypt. I am not going into a nuclear zone now. I mean, it really, I mean, these stories are just terrifying, like you say, because, you know, even what you just told us now, it's like, oh, well, some meteorologists say this and some others. And meanwhile, we're sitting here going, how do you make your decisions?
It's a tough choice. And the executive team here obviously wants to tell the story. It's such an important story on so many levels. The human tragedy, the six reactors that are out there, and then the earthquake aftermath, the tsunami aftermath, and all these things. And we're really just talking about reactors lately. That's been the headline.
Right.
But there's all this other stuff happening, and the pictures. I really like to look at the pictures. I really push that we would try to show those, because it reminds us how we are exactly like them, how we have gone through and we have seen tragedy like this before.
Yeah, really, just amazing, Richard. You were just terrific. Thanks so much for taking time for us. I hope you'll come back. Okay, thank you, Richard. Richard Louie of MSNBC Dayside Anchor. Wow, he's great.
Yeah, he is great. And focused and calm, and it's about getting the information. So when you hear that there is a plume, and the UN is reporting that it could be moving to the West Coast, but guess what? There is no evidence whatsoever.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. I was getting on orbits to change my flight to tomorrow.
I got it. People should not panic.
I know. All right, 48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is too weird, man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We return with Bender once again. David Bender, all 3 hours in the studio. He's leaving me today.
It's a trial separation.
He had a 4-day, just blissfully domestic
life. This was our honeymoon.
Life.
Mm-hmm. This was our honeymooners.
Actually,
to the moon.
All right, Chris, why do you even bother sending me these expert St. Patrick's Day? No excuse for binge drinking. Yes, it is. Every party's got its pooper. Are you kidding me with this nuclear cloud on its way?
You should be playing some Irish music at least. There it is. Right.
That was a moment of non-panic again.
It's time
the nuclear
to start
cloud
drinking.
On its way. Let's drink. Forget about iodine. Iodined
actually,
alone.
Put some green iodine in your beer.
There it is. There it is. Wait for it.
Boy. Dominic in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Dominic, you've worked in nuclear plants.
Yes, I have, Stephanie. I've been a union steam fitter for 20 years, and I've worked in nuclear plants across the United States, Chicago, Michigan, and such. And
Go Union.
Yeah. Mm. And
yeah, I guess you might know a thing or two about workplace safety that unions are responsible for.
I just wanted to say I've been following this tragedy in Japan quite closely with the nuclear workers there. And I just wanted to say a couple of things. And first of all, when I saw that they lost cover water in the reactors and the spent fuel pools, I thought, that's it, they're done. I mean, that place, I totally agree with that scientist. What they got to do is Chernobyl it. They've got to build a sarcophagus around it and just shut it down. If they have any illusion of trying to salvage that plant, forget it. And second of all, you were talking about the symmetry. Whenever you walk into a nuclear plant, wherever you could get a dose of radiation, you're required to wear a dosimeter. And by the NRC regulations, workers like me who go into a plant during a refueling outage, we are limited to 300 millirems for the entire outage. That's the average of about a chest X-ray.
Wow.
These workers are taking massive amounts of dose. They're taking massive amounts of radiation, and they are essentially dead men walking.
Wow. Yeah, I know.
And my heart just goes out for them.
I know. Thank you, honey. Appreciate the call, Dom. Yeah. By the way, you know, with all this talk of nuclear power and... you know, it's hard to keep track of what all the awful Republican governors are doing in every city. Oh, by the way, today, Michigan, thousands of protesters. Rick Snyder, what he's doing is worse than Walker.
Yep.
Let me just talk for 1 second about John Kasich in Ohio. What the frack? Ohio, the headline is, John Kasich wants to open up state parks for fracking.
God.
At the behest of then-Vice President Dick Cheney, an exemption was inserted into the 2005 energy bill, dubbed the Halliburton loophole, which stripped the EPA of its power to regulate a natural gas drilling technique called fracking, which we've talked about in upstate New York and elsewhere. This method called fracking, it entails drilling an L-shaped well deep into the shale, pumping millions of gallons of water laced with industrial chemicals. What could go wrong there?
Yeah, it's poisoning the groundwater.
Yeah, chemicals the energy companies are not legal.
Fire.
Then they're not legally bound to disclose what they are. The poisonous fluid fractures the shale and releases natural gas deposits for collection. And John Kasich, he's introduced a bill early this month that would create a panel to open any state-owned land for oil and gas exploration to the highest bidder.
It's what House Park says. These are like they're like renters. Kasich knows he's got one term. By the way, his numbers. Plummeting. People in Ohio hate him. Total buyer's remorse. But he's going to do all the damage he can in one term.
And meanwhile,
also
in Michigan...
Also, they cause earthquakes, by the way.
Yes. Hello. And in Michigan, they passed a financial martial law bill that allows Rick Snyder to appoint emergency financial managers with the power to terminate collective bargaining agreements. Serious problem with that. It's unconstitutional. The Constitution forbids state laws impairing the obligation of contracts. Somebody made a good point. They said if the state is free to break contracts wherever they feel like it, no one will agree to do business with the state. Investors will refuse to buy the state's bonds. State contractors will demand all payments up front out of fear the state will accept their work and then tear up the contract requiring workers to be paid. So, he's putting the state into a deeper financial hole trying to say, I need to do this for my budget. I mean, it's really, it's just extraordinary. Extraordinary. There's too much going on between Japan and you're like, I can't keep track of all the horrors going on.
They're liars. That's what you need to know. Just one word, liars.
You know who we need, according to Rush Limbaugh? Marco.
Rubio.
Polio.
Yes.
What?
Polio. What? No,
sorry.
That's
wrong. Oh, no.
FDR?
What?
He wants Marco Rubio to run for president.
Great.
I don't know why.
Que bueno.
He's the answer. He wants
that's
to
why.
Cut. Yes, he wants to cut the funding for everything. And that's all right. David Bender, I miss you already.
Oh, it's not true. Say it ain't so.
But I'm faking that because tomorrow I have Valerie Plame and John Fugelsang.
Exactly.
We'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show. I love you, sweetheart.
Love you, too.